couple of readings tonight, to begin with in Nehemiah chapter 9, and then a few verses from Psalm 86. Nehemiah chapter 9, and then a few verses from Psalm 86, beginning to read in Nehemiah chapter 9. Thank you again for coming out this evening, and we do trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Some faraway visitors tonight, some from Banbridge, not that far away, and then some from Bangor. We were in Bangor a few Saturdays ago on our day out, and so it's good to see some good friends with us again this evening. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, and then we're going to read in Psalm 86. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 17. Just read verse 16 with it. But they and their fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. And that's what the people did. But then we read about God. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Let's turn over a few chapters to the Psalms and Psalm 86 this evening. Psalm 86, and again just reading a few verses together. Psalm 86, and reading from verse number 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, see of thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. We'll end at verse number 7, and we are, as ever, looking to the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. I want to think of the word ready. It's a very simple word. It's one that all of us, I'm sure, know something about this evening. The dictionary defines it like this: having made preparations, equipped, supplied with what is necessary for some object or purpose, in fit condition for doing anything and going anywhere. I think all of us know something about getting ready. Getting ready for church, getting ready for school, getting ready for work. It used to be that the ladies were famous for taking time to get ready. That seemed to take ages and ages and ages. Still does. But I think nowadays some of the men are just as bad. I can remember when I was Caleb's age, I used to go to get my hair cut with a man who was a bus driver by day. He was a bus driver by day, and he cut hair by night. And so you can say I wasn't very fashion conscious. Kenny's here tonight too. I think Kenny might still go to him, but I'm not sure. He was cheap and cheerful, and if he was getting a tidy, he just had a bowl in your head. But by hook or by crook, he was able to cut your hair. It didn't take me long to get ready, but some of the young ones today, well, young fellas as well, they take a lot longer than perhaps the previous generation. I want to look at the word ready. And I'm just going to take this one word over a number of weeks. Sometimes it's good to do this. There's many ways that we can open up the scriptures. And sometimes just to take a word and trace the use of that word through various passages and chapters. And that's what I'm going to do. Just take a word. Take a concordance, open the concordance, and follow that word in Scripture, and you'll discover that you can very often build up a pattern. I'm thinking especially, of course, of the gospel. But of course, the word ready is not just for the unbeliever. I remember being at a conference one time, and it says if you're going to be ready, you have to be saved. But there's more to being ready than just being saved. Now, of course, if you're saved, you're ready for heaven and you're ready for home, and that'll never change. But I wonder what spiritual condition you're in this evening as a child of God tonight. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready, for instance, to receive the scriptures? Acts 17, verse 11, Paul said this, speaking of the Bereans, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We live in the day and age of Facebook. And I wonder tonight if you were to sit down and work out how many minutes, hours you spend on Facebook and how many minutes, hours you spend on the Word of God. I wonder what would win. And I wonder what comes first. I wonder when you first open your eyes in the morning, do you think of the book or Facebook? Are you ready to receive the Scriptures? That's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? The readiness to receive the Scripture. Are we ready to witness? We're ready for many things. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready to talk about the Lord? We're ready to talk about football. We're ready to talk about the weather, and there's always plenty to talk about with our weather. We're ready to talk about the crises, and perhaps the farming crisis is in the news a lot. But are we ready to talk about the Lord as a child of God? We have much to talk about. Have we time to talk about the Lord? Are we ready to receive the Scripture? Are we ready to witness? Are we ready for good work? Titus 3 verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Are we ready to do good things? Good works will never save you, but salvation should result in good works. Are you ready to suffer for Christ? All I'm doing is taking the word ready and letting the Scripture speak for itself. Acts 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, could we say that tonight? That's a big ask, isn't it? Ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often God's people are ready to criticize and complain and cry about this and cry about that. Are we ready to serve the Lord? And see how you can take the word of God and just trace a word and follow it throughout Scripture, and you can build up a pattern, and you can challenge your own heart. And if opportunity is given, you can challenge the hearts of others. I think before us tonight we have an amazing fact in our two readings. Something that's absolutely outstanding. Nehemiah reminds us we have a God who is ready to pardon. The psalmist reminds us in verse 5 that, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. We have a God who's ready to forgive and a God who's ready to pardon. It's as if he's standing poised, willing, wanting, looking to pardon any sinner that's in this meeting here this evening. That's amazing. It's amazing for a number of reasons that we'll touch on in a moment, but it's amazing that the Lord of glory, the God of heaven, is ready and willing to save and to forgive you even tonight. Let's think of our subject this evening. God is ready to deliver, and that's my subject for tonight. It's amazing when we consider the majesty. We were looking at the news last night on the 70th anniversary of VJ Day, Victory in Japan Day, and Marcella happened to say to me, doesn't the Queen look so well? And at her age, she's a magnificent-looking woman, and there's something majestic about our own Queen. And there is certainly something, she does carry herself very well. But when we think of majesty, there's no one can match the God of heaven when it comes to majesty. If you look in Psalm 86, verse 8, you discover that he's unique. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. There's no one like our God. There's no one can touch him when it comes to his works. There's no one can touch him when it comes to the mighty wonders that he has done. He is absolutely unique. If you look at verse 9 in Psalm 86, he's the one to whom all nations will one day bow down. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. That hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. There's a day coming when all the nations of the world will bow down and own him as Lord and God. He's a powerful, omnipotent God. Look at verse 10 in Psalm 86. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Think about what Nehemiah said in chapter 9. We didn't read these verses. He's a God of creation. Nehemiah 9 verse 6. Thou even now art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. God is a God of creation. He is faithful and righteous. Nehemiah 9 verse 8. Has performed thy words. He keeps his word. For thou art righteous. He's a God who's powerful. He's a God who's a God of creation. He's a God who is absolutely holy. Nehemiah 9 verse 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and givest them right judgment and true laws, good statutes and commandments. He's unique. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's a creator. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's holy. And yet tonight he's ready to pardon and he's ready to forgive. It's amazing tonight. It's outstanding tonight. The one that we've been reading about, ready to forgive, ready to pardon tonight. When you think of his majesty, it makes his statements absolutely amazing. Prince Charles often gets himself into a bit of bother. Recently, some of the letters that he had written to Tony Blair were published, and they were a bit of an embarrassment to him, and it's widely believed that the Queen really wants to miss Charles out and wants William to be the next king. I'm not sure that will ever happen, but we have a king, we have a Lord who will never embarrass anyone, never let anyone down. He certainly won't make any mistakes. Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. What an amazing, what a majestic God we have this evening. What a holy Savior we have this evening. And yet he's ready. He's ready to pardon and he's ready to forgive. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? It's as if he's saying, can anyone challenge me or accuse me of even one sin? There's not a person living on the planet this evening could say that. There's not a person would dare get into this pulpit and say to even a congregation like this, can any of you accuse me of even one sin? I'm sure you'll find much more than one. But the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say that because he was absolutely sinless. Think of his majesty tonight. And yet tonight he is ready to pardon and he's ready to forgive. And sometimes we treat the gospel like we're nearly beggars, pleading with people to accept Christ as if they're doing the Lord a favor. And yet the reality is that the God of heaven, the Lord of glory, a thrice holy God, is willing to pardon a guilty, filthy sinner like me. And he's ready to forgive you tonight. Think of his majesty tonight. You know, that's what makes this statement so amazing. Think not only of his majesty, but think of the mire. What I mean by that, the psalmist said in Psalm 40, he says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. If we apply this to someone who's not saved this evening, they talk about a horrible pit. A horrible pit from which those who don't know the Lord find themselves in this evening. A horrible pit of sin. The Bible has nothing good to say about sinners. It's a horrible pit they're in. John 8 verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. We hear sometimes in the news about slavery. And people have been sent over to this country as slaves. And we all thought that there was no slavery now. But you know, there's a lot of slavery in another way. Because if you're not saved, you're a slave to sin. And you're a slave to the devil, even this evening. You're in a horrible pit tonight. You're a slave to sin. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. You're dead tonight. Spiritually dead without Christ. Romans 5 verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, enemies of God. They haven't much going for us, sure we haven't. We're in a horrible pit of sin. We're sinking deeper and deeper. We're servants of sin and servants of the devil. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We're enemies of God. Luke 19 verse 10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're lost. There's not a term tonight, not an adjective tonight that describes sinners that's in any way flattering. We're in a horrible pit. We're in a horrible place. We're servants of sin, servants of the devil. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We're enemies of God. We're lost. We're born in sin, the Bible says. We're shapen in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're as bad as you can think in the sight of a holy God. And yet tonight he's ready to pardon you. And he's ready to forgive you tonight. You see what makes this statement amazing tonight? Think of his majesty. Think of the mire that those without Christ are in this evening. You know, when we read about sin, we discover what God thinks about sin. We discover it's an abomination to him. Deuteronomy 25, verse 16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously, and that's you if you're not saved, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. It's hateful to God. Psalm 5, verse 4, For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. God hates sin. And tonight, it's an abomination. It's hateful to God. God can't even look upon it. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? God hates, and God must judge sin, and God must deal with sin. God has nothing good to say about your sin tonight, and yet tonight. Amazing statement it is. In spite of his majesty, when you think of who he is, and in spite of the mire, if you think of where we are, he's ready to pardon tonight. And he's ready to forgive tonight. It's amazing tonight. A number of years ago, a group of Christian missionaries met in India with some who were from what is described as other faiths. And the missionaries were asked a question, tell me one thing your religion can offer the people in India that mine can't. And the missionary thought for a moment and then he said, forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. No one else offers forgiveness of sin. I was in Orlando Airport recently. I didn't realize this till I got home. But they've spent $250,000 building a prayer room for Muslims. And the reason is it's really to do with money. The Emirates airline have said they're going to use the airport have a direct flight to Dubai. And because of the number of people it's going to bring, then to build this for $250,000 really isn't that much money for them. And if it keeps them happy, they'll be delighted to have the new business. But I was reading what a British Bible teacher and lecturer, David Pawson, said. He said this, I have talked to the most devout Muslims who pray five times a day. They have journeyed to Mecca. They've fasted during Ramadan. They're more devout than many Christians. And when I ask them, do you know if your sins are forgiven? They say, we don't know. We just have to hope for the best. Hope for the best. Tonight we have one who is ready to pardon, one who is ready to forgive, one who can take your sins away and remove them for time and for eternity. Just this week it was announced that the grave of Seamus Heaney, on the headstone there is an inscription they've put on for one of his poems. It says, walk on air against your better judgment. The idea is to let your imagination go wild and to take a risk with your imagination. This was what the poem was about. But I was reading another story about a cemetery not far from New York. And in this cemetery, there's a headstone. There's no date of birth. There's no date of death. There's nothing on this headstone, only one word, and one word only, and it's the word forgiven. The word forgiven. That's all's on it. And you can be a Nobel Prize winning poet and have a great inscription on your headstone. You can be a very famous person. You can be a nobody. But if this cannot be written on your headstone, then you have nothing. Forgiven. Could it be written on yours if you were to take your last breath tonight? Forgiven. You see, the wonderful thing is tonight that the Lord is ready to forgive and he's ready to pardon. It's available to you. God must judge sin, and sinners must be sent to a lost sinner's hell. But he's ready to forgive and he's ready to pardon. See the majesty tonight. I hope you're following this tonight. See the majesty of God tonight. And yet he's ready to pardon and he's ready to forgive. See the mire tonight. See where you and I were as sinners. And you still are tonight if you're not saved. And yet the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is ready tonight to forgive and he's ready tonight to pardon. You see the majesty, you see the mire. Then we could talk about the many who have received this forgiveness. It's one thing to talk about the theory, but you know, we can go through the Word of God and we can find many who have enjoyed this forgiveness. We could talk about Adam and Eve. And here are a couple who listened to the devil, and maybe you're listening to the devil. The serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." And you know, she believed the devil. And she disbelieved God. And that's what you're doing tonight. If you're not saved, you're believing the devil. And he's a liar. And he's the father of it. And so you're listening to a bad source this evening. They listened to the devil. Genesis 3 verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And God is calling Adam. And Adam and Eve are in their sin, and God's calling them, and God's looking, and God's searching. And maybe that's what he's doing for you this evening. But you know, they were found out, and we read in Genesis 3 verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." God provided for them, and they found forgiveness and they found a pardon in the Lord. Are you listening to the devil tonight? Well, Adam and Eve found a pardon. We could talk about the nation of Israel. That's who Nehemiah was referring to. They had dealt proudly, they had hardened their necks, they had hearkened not to the commandments, they refused to obey. That's maybe where you are tonight. And then later on it says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon." In spite of what Israel had done, God was ready to pardon this disobedient and rebellious people. We could talk about Rahab, a defiled person. Scripture describes her as an harlot. That's certainly not a complimentary term. And yet when you come to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, when you read the genealogy of Christ, it says, "Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse," and so on, right up to Christ. She was taken from the hall of shame, and she was placed into the hall of fame, even though she was a harlot. How? Well, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. And God was ready to forgive and ready to pardon a harlot. He did it with Adam and Eve. He did it with the nation of Israel. He did it with the woman called Rahab. You can, those who listened to the devil, those who were disobedient, those who were defiled like Rahab, one who was a dictator like Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 4 verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." He was a wicked and sinful dictator. He was really like Saddam Hussein. He was the leader of the then Babylon, which is modern day Iraq. And yet God saved him. God was able to save him. God was able to pardon him. And what I'm saying to you, when you look through the Old Testament, you discover who has been pardoned, who has been forgiven. And if God could do it for them, do you think he can't do it for you tonight? Then when you come into the New Testament, you have Further examples, you've got Paul, who was a cruel, wicked man. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. You couldn't get much worse than that. A man, if we had have lived in his day and age, we would have been terrified meeting in a building like this. You'd have been sure Paul could have been, or Saul could have been waiting at the door, ready to throw you into prison, maybe even have you stoned to death. We can't imagine what it must have been. And yet the Lord saved Saul. We read this morning in 1 Timothy 1 verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." This is Paul speaking. "That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting." Cruel Paul. What about the criminals? What about the thief on the cross? He was a man who was a lousy robber. Nobody likes thieves. And they seem to always pry on old people and vulnerable people. And nobody likes a thief. They're lousy people. They're low-life people. And yet when this thief looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, remember me," the Lord Jesus says, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Isn't his pardon, isn't his forgiveness amazing tonight? You can find it tonight. If he can do it with cruel Paul, if he can do it with a criminal like the thief, if he can save a terrorist like Simon. Luke 6 verse 15, one of the disciples was a man called Simon, not Simon Peter, but Simon called Zelotes. Zelotes means he was a zealot. He was a modern day terrorist. Their plan was to overthrow the Roman bondage through terrorism. That's what he was. Nothing more, nothing less. Plain and simple, he was a terrorist, but the Lord saved him. He could save the thief. He could save the terrorist. He could save a weak crook like Zacchaeus. Luke 19, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and come down and received him joyfully. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." Do you see how amazing this is tonight? He is able to forgive. He is willing to forgive. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to pardon. We sometimes get these spam emails offering you all sorts of things, and you know it's rubbish. But this is a genuine offer this evening. Look at the variety of men and women. Look at the sinners who have heard that God is ready to forgive and ready to pardon, and the Lord has done exactly that. It's amazing tonight. It's amazing tonight when you think of his majesty. Psalm 86 verse 1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." We're poor, we're needy, we can do nothing. We need the Lord to bow down, and he's ready tonight. He's ready and he's willing. Think of the mire that we find ourselves in. Think of the many who have responded. This is no gimmick, this is real. Story told of a doctor in Scotland. In the days when medical treatment had to be paid for, there was no NHS. And when he passed away, they found his diary. And in his diary, they read about many visits he'd carried out, and he'd gone to see Mrs. So-and-so, and he'd just written across it, "Forgiven, too poor to pay." And when they went through his diary, they discovered quite a number of people who didn't pay for the medical care because they were too poor, and he just wrote, "Forgiven, too poor to pay. Forgiven, too poor to pay." You know, when his wife discovered the diary, she decided that she would go after this money. And so she instigated legal proceedings and brought some of those who had been let off the hook, brought them up to the court. And when the judge read the diary, he said there's no court in the land that can obtain a debt once the word "forgiven" has been written over it. And the debt was written off. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a debt that he did not owe, and we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. We were like the psalmist said here in Psalm 86, we were poor and needy, spiritually speaking. Spiritually, we're bankrupt. But you know, the Lord wiped the debt away because he's ready to pardon and he's ready to forgive. What an amazing thing it is tonight. Think of the majesty tonight. Think of the mire that we've been saved out of. Think of the many who've received the pardon. Think of the madness tonight. The psalmist said again, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call about thee. You see the abundance. God is plenteous in mercy. It was the mercy of God that sent his Son to Calvary. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. Luke 1 verse 78, it's through mercy that you can be saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's madness to reject this mercy this evening. Madness. Madness tonight if you're still in your sin, and the Lord of glory, the God of heaven, is ready to pardon. He's ready to forgive. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. How crazy tonight, how mad for you tonight to reject the Savior and to reject his pardon. You see the abundance tonight. You see the availability tonight. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy upon all them. Isn't it wonderful tonight? Isn't it wonderful? It's not just for the rich tonight. It's not just for the poor. It's not for the middle class. It's not for the working class. It's just for all. He's ready to pardon you tonight. You've no excuse tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We sometimes sing, whosoever means me, and it means you tonight too. You see the madness tonight. God is ready to pardon. God is ready to forgive. Look at the abundance. Look at the availability. Look at the acceptance again in verse 5 of Psalm 86. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. To who? To all them that get baptized. To all them who join the Baptist church, to all those who are Protestants tonight, to all those tonight who good works. No, it says to all them that call upon him. Call upon thee. That's all it is tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember the publican when the Lord Jesus told that parable? He said simply, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how you need to come. Remember Peter when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he fell at his knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Remember Bartimaeus, he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Will you come to him and come as a sinner tonight? And call upon him for salvation. Repenting of your sin, it's simple tonight. I don't want to complicate the gospel tonight. Isaiah said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for you. It's madness tonight to refuse. You have nothing to pay, nothing to do. Just come and accept. You see the abundance tonight, plenteous in mercy. You see the availability is unto all. They see the acceptance, those that call upon thee. They see the assurance. Think of the word forgive tonight. He is ready to forgive. How can he forgive tonight? Think of the ground of his forgiveness. Paul said in Acts 13, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It's through Christ that you have forgiveness tonight. That's the ground of it. Thank God it's not based on the Baptist church. It's based on Christ tonight. It's Christ and Christ alone. I said when I was preaching in the open air, God forbid that I would try and make a Baptist out of you. It's Christ you need, and Christ alone. You see, the grounds of our forgiveness is Christ. The extent of our forgiveness. 1 John 1 verse 7, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Either he can cleanse you from all sin, or he can't. There's nothing you need other than the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't need some further deliverance. You don't need some further prayer. You don't need some further blessing. He can save you completely, totally, and eternally, and he can save you that way tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see the ground of it? It's based on Christ. You see the extent of it? It's a complete and full forgiveness. Let me say something about the style of his forgiveness. Because sometimes someone may forgive you reluctantly. begrudgingly. But that's not how the Lord forgives. The Lord told three parables in Luke chapter 15. He told the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and if you like, the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. When all were found, you discover there's rejoicing on all occasions. Luke 15, verse 6, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me." Again, verse 9, "When the coin was found, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost." And again, in Luke 15, after the prodigal comes home, it says they began to be merry. He joyfully, willingly, lovingly forgives sinners. He wants to save you tonight. He wants to forgive you. He would love to forgive you tonight. Only a madman would turn it down. Only someone who's being really, really stupid tonight, and I say that reverently, would turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's ready to pardon. He's ready to forgive. It's abundant. It's available. It just has to be accepted. It gives wonderful assurance because of the ground and extent of it. You can leave tonight with your sins forgiven on the ground of Calvary. They are completely gone. And you know it's not grudgingly, but willingly and lovingly given. Lastly, what about the alternative? Again, Psalm 86, verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." It says, "Thou, Lord, art good." Remember what the Lord Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And Jesus Christ was God and is God. And he is good. And because he's God tonight, he cannot accept sin. Because he's God tonight, he cannot overlook your sin. Jesus said this, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And tonight as you sit in this meeting, you're a condemned sinner. And I can't put it any nicer than that. That's exactly what you are. That's where you are this evening. If that's how you die, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, in Revelation 20 we're told was cast into the lake of fire. Do you see the madness tonight? See the madness tonight. When you think of his majesty, what a holy God. When you think of the mire, where you and I were and how we're born in sin. When you think of the many who've already been saved, even in this meeting this evening. When you think of the madness tonight of not trusting the Lord as your own and personal Savior. 14th of November 1999 was the last Remembrance Day of the previous century. And as you know, there is the normal huge service at Whitehall. But a day before, there was another service, a little service. Not as many people at it, just friends and families of those who were involved. And this service was held for men in the British forces. And I'm told there were 306 of them. 306 who were executed for cowardice and desertion. And for decades, families campaigned that they would be pardoned. Government after government said no, no, no. And then eventually the government gave in and said, yes, we're going to grant them a posthumous pardon on the grounds that some of them were only 14 years of age. Young boys who were just absolutely terrified and didn't know what they'd let themselves into. Young boys who just couldn't suffer it and were absolutely scared out of their wits. And so the pardon was granted to these men. But I ask you tonight, what use was it? What use is a posthumous pardon? They'd already been executed. And there could be absolutely nothing done for them. So it's worthless. Let me say tonight, if you die without Christ, there is no posthumous pardon. There's no purgatory. I've heard a few friends recently who've been at various wakes and they've looked into coffins and they've saw the mass cards and the money and loads of money put in there with the hope to try and somehow help them now that they have died, that they may get out of purgatory quicker. Listen, it's not in the Word of God. And we'd want to be sensitive and we'd want to be understanding, but it's not in the Word of God. There is no posthumous pardon for you if you die without Christ, you'll be in hell for all eternity without Christ. Surely you must see the madness tonight. Nehemiah reminds us, thou art a God who is ready to pardon. The psalmist says he's ready to forgive. Are you ready to come tonight? Are you ready to accept him tonight? Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we can say a lot of things, but Lord, we're looking now for the Spirit of God to work. You know those who are in tonight and they're not saved. There's never been that profession of faith. And Lord, we pray tonight that they might see the madness of where they are. We pray tonight that they might realize the amazing truth tonight that you're ready to pardon, you're ready to forgive them. Lord, we pray tonight, like many we've read about and many in this meeting, Lord, that this will not go down in the annals of history, indeed in the annals of glory, as another wasted opportunity for some poor lost soul. Speak graciously, tenderly, lovingly, mercifully, and Lord, frankly tonight, and may some precious soul be wonderfully and graciously saved. For we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing from our hymn book, Songs of Victory, again. Number 410. 410, the chorus says, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And you can find the same mercy, and the same pardon, and the same forgiveness at Calvary tonight. We'll stand to sing 410 together. And then after this, I'll ask Kenny, Pastor Kenny Wilson, if he'll close the meeting in a word of prayer. Thank you, Kenny.
Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee again tonight for a gracious sense of thy presence. We thank thee that thou art a God ready to forgive and ready to pardon. And we realize that the command from thy word is, therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as thee. Ye think not the Son of Man cometh. We just commit everyone to thee just now. We pray for the saving grace. We thank thee for the day of grace. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And we do pray that thou wilt just continue to speak to our hearts and help us to rejoice in the Lord and the things that the Lord hath done for us. And sever us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety and save our loved ones, we pray, in the Saviour's name.